السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد. Welcome everyone to resuming our session on the مراقي السعادة of Imam Abu al-Hasan, Abu al-Ikhlas, Ash-Shurambulali, rahimahullah. We will begin with the reading of the text. And we got up to the bab al-Masihi ala al-Khuffain wal-Jabirata. So we are now going to read then the section on, or the chapter on, wiping over the foot gear and the jabira, which is like the casts. So we will begin. The noble Imam Ash-Shurambulali rahimahullah wa nafa'ana Allah bih, he says, يجوز المسح على الخف للرجال والنساء في الحضر والسفر. الخف ما ستر الكعبين ولو من نحو الجوخ، ويشترط أن يتم الوضوء قبل خروج الحدث، ولا يشترط إكمال الوضوء قبل لبس الخف، حتى لو غسل رجليه فلبس الخف ثم أتم الوضوء صح له المسح بعده، وإن كان مقيما يمسح يوما وليلة، وإن كان مسافرا يمسح ثلاثة أيام لياليها، وابتداء المدة من وقت الحدث الحاصل بعد لبس الخف على الطهارة، والمفروض مسحه مقدار ثلاثة أصابع من اليد على ظاهر الخف السالم من خرق، يبلغ ثلاثة أصابع من أصغر أصابع اليد، فإن كان الخرق دونه صح ولو في كل قدم، ولا يجمع فيهما. والسنة البداءة من الأصابع الرجل مفرجا أصابعه مارا بها إلى ساقه، وينقضه ناقض الوضوء والنزع الخف، ومضي المدة إن لم يخف ذهاب رجله من البرد، وخروج الأكثر القدم لا يصح المسح على عمامة والقلنسوة والبرقع وقفازان. وإذا كسر عضوه أو جرح يمسح على جبيرة أو لعصابة ما دام عذره باقيا، ولو شدها جنبا أو محدثا، ولا يشترط الاستيعاب، وقيل يشترط، ولا يلزمه غسل الفرجة فيما بين عصابة الفصد، ولا يبطل مسحها ولا صلاة بسقوطها عن غير برء فيها، ولا تلزمه إعادة المسح على التي جددها ويندب، ولا يفتقر فيها إلى النية كالخف. صحيح رحمه الله. He says that يجوز المسح على الخف للرجال والنساء. Both men and women are allowed by the law to wipe over the foot gear, the khufs. To wipe over the khuf. Whether they are non-travelers or travelers. And what is the khuf? Well, khufu ma satar al-ka'bayni walaw min nahw al-jukh. The khuf is whatever covers the ankles, even if it's made from material that is dense wool, a jukh. So leather foot gear do not have to be made out of leather. ويشترط أن يتم الوضوء قبل خروج الحدث. In order for the wiping to be something that's valid, the condition is one must have completed ablution before its nullification. ولا يشترط إكمال الوضوء قبل لبس الخف. It is not a condition to complete the wudu before wearing the foot gear. حتى لو غسل رجليه فلبس الخف ثم أتم الوضوء صح له المسح بعد. This is the case if one were to wash his feet, wear the khufs, and then complete his wudu, it will be valid to wipe the khufs afterwards. It will be valid to wipe that foot gear afterwards. فإن كان مقيما يمسح يوما وليلة. If someone is a non-traveler, is a resident, a muqim, are you not on a journey, then that person may wipe their foot gear for one complete day and one complete night, i.e. 24 hours. The valid time is 24 hours. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُسَافِرًا يَمْسَحُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ بِلَيَالِيهَا. If someone is a traveler, he may wipe his foot gear for three complete days and nights, i.e. 72 hours. So that's the time period in which one can, 3 days, including their nights. وابتداء المدة من وقت الحدث الحاصل بعد لبس الخف على الطهارة. The time period from which one may wipe their khuf, their foot gear, begins from the time the wudu, having been completed, is nullified. من وقت الحدث الحاصل بعد لبس الخف على الطهارة. So it begins from the time wudu is nullified after having worn the foot gear, being in, while in a state of ritual purity. So if one is in a state of ritual purity, they've done wudu, they're now in a state of ritual ablution or purity. Ritual purity, sorry, they've performed ablution, they're in a state of ritual purity. Once that is nullified, then the time period for wiping commences. وَالْمَفْرُوضُ مسحه مقدار ثلاثة أصابع من اليد على ظاهر الخف السالم. The minimum required area to wipe is an amount equivalent to مقدار ثلاثة أصابع من اليد. Must be three fingers, smallest fingers of the hand. على يد الظاهر, according to the top of the hand, according to the, sorry, the ظاهر, the ظاهر الخف, sorry, the top of the foot gear. So must be three fingers surface area, four smallest surface area of three fingers of the hand. على ظاهر الخف السالم, on the top of a sound foot gear, on the top, the surface, the face of a foot gear, has to be salim min khurqin, has to be free from any holes, has to be free from any holes, and the extent of that hole, yablaghu thalathata asabi' min asghari asabi' al-yad. So the surface area, each foot gear must be free from holes that, if combined, if put together, are equivalent to the surface area of the person's three smallest toes of their foot. Hence, if the holes of one of the pair are less than that area, فَإِنْ كَانَ الْخُرْقُ دُونَهُ صَحَّ. If the holes of one of the pair of the foot gear are less than that area, it is valid to wipe it, even if each one is such that the holes of both khuf are not combined when estimating, rather each one of the pair is considered separately. فَإِنْ كَانَ الْخُرْقُ دُونَهُ صَحَّ وَلَوْ فِي كُلِّ قَدَمٍ وَلَا يَجْمَعُ فِيهِمَا. So each khuf, each foot gear, must be free from holes that are equivalent to the surface area of the person's three smallest toes. If the holes of one of the pair are less than that area, it is still valid to wipe it, even if each one is such. Even if each one is such, that is, the holes of each khufs are not combined. وَالسُنَّةَ الْبِدَاءَةُ مِنَ الْأَصَابِعِ الرِّجِلِ مُفَرِّجًا أَصَابِعَهُ مارا بها إلى ساقه. The sunnah method of wiping the foot gear is to begin at the toes with one's fingers spread apart and to wipe towards the shin. Wipe towards the shin. That would be the sunnah. وَيَنْقُضُهُ نَاقِضُ الْوُضُوءِ. That which invalidates the foot gear, that which negates the permission to wipe the foot gear from the top of the foot, the top of the area, the surface area that is to be wiped. Anything that nullifies the wudu would nullify one's permission to wipe the foot gear. وَالنَّزَعُ الْخُفُ. If one takes off one of the pairs of the socks, the expiration date, وَمُضِيُّ الْمُدَّةِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَخَفْ ذَهَابُ رِجْلِهِ مِنَ الْبَرْدِ. The expiration of the time period allowed to wipe, unless one has a genuine fear that if one takes it off, they're going to be hit with extreme cold on their foot. وَخُرُوجُ أَكْثَرِ الْقَدَمِ. The protrusion of most of the foot from the foot gear. وَلَا يَصِحُ الْمَسْحُ عَلَى عِمَامَ وَقُلُنْسُوَ وَبُرْقَ وَقُفَّازَيْنِ. It is not valid to wipe a turban, imama, a cap, a face veil, or, gloves. It's not valid to do masah or wiping over any one of those. So one's turban, one's hat, one's face veil for women, and any kind of gloves cover the hands. Now, wiping casts or bandages. This is the section here. وَإِذَا كُسِرَ عُدُوهُ أَوْ جُرِحَ يُمْسَحُ عَلَى جَبِيرَ أَوْ عِصَابَ. If one has a broken or wounded limb, it is permissible to wipe over a cast or a bandage. Some kind of dressing on the wound or some kind of covering, a bandage or a cast on the broken limb. مَا دَامَ عُذُرُهُ بَاقِيًا. For as long as that reason remains, that excuse, that valid excuse or exemption remains. وَلَوْ شَدَّهَا جُنُبًا أَوْ مُحْدِثًا. Even if it were placed on the limb while the person was in a state of major or minor ritual impurity, i.e. regardless of whether one needed a full bath or needed a wudu. لَا يُشْتَرِطُ الْإِسْتِعَابُ. There is no condition to wipe the entire cast or covering. وَقِيلَ يُشْتَرَطْ. Although, according to some opinions, which may be the less stronger opinion, the weaker opinion, it is a condition. وَلَا يَلْزَمُهُ غَسْلُ الْفُرْجَةِ. It is also not necessary to wash the exposed skin in between the wrapping. فِيمَا بَيْنَ عِصَابَةِ الْفَصْلِ. That skin which is exposed between the wrapping of a dressing where some kind of procedure was taking place, like a cut or a minor incision or something like that. لَا يَلْزَمُهُ غَسْلُ الْفُرْجَ فِيمَا بَيْنَ عِصَابَةِ الْفَصْلِ. So there is no condition, it's not necessary to wash any exposed skin between the wrapping of a dressing placed over the skin where some kind of incision or cut was made. وَلَا يَبْطُلُ مَسْحُهَا وَلَا صَلَاتْ بِسُقُوتِهَا عَنِ غَيْرِ بُرْءٍ فِيهَا. If a cast or bandage falls off and the limb had not yet healed, then neither the previous wiping nor the salah, if you were praying, is invalidated. وَلَا تَلْزَمُهُ إِعَادَةُ الْمَسْحِ عَلَى الَّتِي جَدَّدَهَا. It is not necessary to wipe the area if the original wiping had if the original area had already been wiped before. It's not necessary to wipe it again. But Well, Yundab, it's recommended to do that. It's recommended to renew the wiping over an area if it has already been done. ولا يفتقر فيها إلا نية كالخف. The wiping of the cast does not require any intention, like the case of wiping a foot gear. So they take the same ruling. They take the same ruling. So that is the section on wiping over the foot gear and wiping over bandages or casts. We're permitted by the Sharia to wipe over the surface area of the top of the foot, the face of the foot, from the toes going up to the ankles. That's the direction of the wiping, minimally with the surface area of three smallest fingers. And the foot gear has to be sound, has to be salim, min al-khurq, has to be free from holes, and it has to be able to withstand wear and tear over a certain amount of distance that one is able to walk to see if it survives the wear and tear. If it does that, then that kind of foot gear is valid to use. That's valid to use as a foot gear, and to wipe over it will be valid. Similarly with casts, the rule is if one is unable to wipe over a wound or some kind of affected area, and one has to wear a cast or a bandage or whatever it might be, a dressing, then one wipes over it. One wipes over it, over the area. And again, this undressing the wound or undressing the bandage, taking the cast off, if that won't affect the area or make it worse, then one is allowed to wipe over the affected area. Otherwise, one is not obligated to wipe over the affected area. Okay, so that's the sort of foot gear section. We will now go on to Bab al-Hayd wal-Nifas wal-Istihadha. We'll go on to the section on the Hayd, which is the menstruation, and Nifas, which is post-birth bleeding, and Istihadha, which is sort of irregular bleeding. So the Sheikh, rahimahullah, he says, Al-Haydhu huwa dam alladhi yakhruju min rahim al-imra'a imra'atin salimatin 'an da'in wa hablin wa qad rahaqat wa aqalluhu 3 ayyamin wa aktharuhu 10 wa awsatuhu ma baynahuma fa in naqasa 'an 3 aw zada 'an 10 bihaydhin fa laysa bihaydhin wa huwa istihadha. وما تراه في مدته من سائر الألوان وتخلل انقطاعه في مدة حيض يمنع صلاة وصوما وتقضيه دونها ويحرم وطعا وطوافا ودخول مسجد ومس ما تحت الإزار وقراءة القرآن ومسه إلا بغلاف إذا تمت مدتها لدون 10 أيام لا يحل وطئها إلا بأحد أمور 3. إما الغسل أو التيمم والصلاة ولو نفلا، وإما ثبوت فرض في ذمتها بأن تجد من وقته ما يسع الغسل وتحريمة فما فوقها يخرجه الوقت فيحل وطئها في وقت ثاني. وإذا لم يبق منه بعد انقطاع دمها لتمام عادتها إلا قدر يسير لا يسع الغسل وتحريمته فلا عبرة بخروجه. فإذا تمت مدتها 10 حل وطؤها بمجرد التمام للتيقن بأن الزائد استحاض. وأقل الطهر 15 يوما ولا حد لأكثره إلا عند نصب العادة في زمان الاستمرار. والنفاس دم يعقب الولد أو أكثره ولو كان سقطا استبان بعض خلقه. وأقل النفاس لا حد له وأكثره 40 يوما. هو من أول نوى، هو أول توى أمين، وحكمه كالحيض، وحكمه كالحيض، فما تراه الحامل ولو حال الطلق قبل خروج أكثر ولد، وما تراه زائدا على الأربعين متجاوزا عادتها، وزاد على أكثر الحيض والنفاس، وما تراه من لم تراهق فهو استحاضة. ودم الاستحاضة كرعاف دائم لا يمنع صوما وصلاة ووطئا وطوافا، وتتوضأ لوقت كل صلاة إذا استوعب نزوله وقتا كاملا، كسلاسة بول واستلاق بطن وانفراط ريح وسيلان دم. فإن أصحاب العذر لهم 3 شروط: شرط لثبوت العذر، وشرط لدوامه، وشرط لانقطاعه. أما الشرط ثبوته فقد علمت بأنه لا بد من استيعاب العذر وقتا كاملا، بحيث لا يتمكن فيه من الطهارة والصلاة بدونه، وبعده يصير صاحب العذر، فيصلي بعد ملابسة ذلك العذر بعد وضوء معه ما شاء من الفرائض والنوافل، ويبطل بخروجه فقط. وأما شرط دوامه فبوجوده في كل وقت ولو مر بعد ذلك، وأما شرط انقطاعه فبخلو وقت كامل عنه. So the Sheikh رحمه الله he says, الحيض هو الدم الذي يخرج من رحم امرأة سليمة عن الداء وحبل وقد راهقت. Menstruation is defined as blood that leaves from the uterus of a woman free from any kind of illness or disease or pregnancy after the age of adolescence. After the age of adolescence. وأقله 3 أيام. The minimum duration of a حيض, of a menstruation is 3 days. وأكثره 10. And the maximum is 10 days. وأوسطه ما بينهما. And its average is between these two, i.e. 5 days. فإن نقص عن 3 أو زاد على 10 فليس بحيض. If the bleeding is less than 3 days or exceeds 10 days, then this is not considered to be menstruation proper. Rather, هو استحاضة. This is irregular bleeding. وما تراه في مدته من سائر الألوان وتخلل انقطاعه في المدة حيض يمنع الصلاة وصوما، يمنع صلاة وصوما. If during the period of menstruation, i.e. the maximum of 10 days is completed, any color that's seen, as well as any sort of stops or breaks from bleeding within the 10 days, this is considered حيض. This is considered menstrual blood. فيمنع صلاة وصوما. And for that reason, praying and fasting, one is not allowed to do it. وتقضيه دونها. And any kind of fasting needs to be made up later. If it is during Ramadan, of course. And this is dunaha. This is other than the salah. So what is made up is the fast, if it's Ramadan, where this occurs, but not the prayers. وَيُحَرِّمُ وَطَعًا وَطَوَافًا وَدُخُولَ مَسْجِدٍ وَمَسَّ مَا تَحْتَ الْإِزَارِ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ ومسه إلا بخلاف. There are some unlawful things that there are things that are unlawful during menstruation, and they are يحرم وطعا, any kind of marital or conjugal relations between spouses, sexual relations is not allowed. وطوافا, performing a walk around the Kaaba, a circumambulation, a tawaf, going around the Kaaba musharrafa, this is not allowed. ودخول مسجد, going into the proper area of the mosque, that's not allowed. Being touched from below the izar, being from below the navel, that is not allowed. قراءة القرآن, reciting the Quran, and touching a copy of the Quran, إلا بغلاف, unless there is a kind of barrier, a non-attached barrier. Okay, إذا تمت مدتها, إذا تمت مدتها لدون 10 أيام لا يحل وطؤها إلا بأحد أمور الثلاث. If a woman's period ends within 10 days, then she may not have conjugal relations, she may not have sexual relations with her spouse, except after one of three things happens. Either إما الغسل, either she completes full bath, or tayammum if the ruling applies, وصلات به ولو نفلا, and she prays with that tayammum, even if it's a recommended prayer. That's the first thing. The second thing is, first thing is she has to have a bath, either on condition she has a full bath, or on conditions in the absence of water and all the conditions that fulfills a dry ablution, she performs tayammum and then prays a prayer. That's the second condition. وَإِمَّا ثَبُوتُ فَرْضٍ فِي ذِمَّتِهَا. بأن تجد من وقته ما يسع الغسل وتحريمته فما فوقها يخرج الوقت فيحل وطؤها في وقت الثاني. So the third condition is missing an obligatory prayer, a fard prayer, which occurs if a period of a menstruation, the duration of a menstruation has come to an end, and there is enough time left for her to perform a ghusl and to catch the first takbira to tahrima, the opening exclusionary takbir of the prayer. If she's able to do all that, then it is permissible for her now to engage in marital relations. If, however, the time between the ending of her period and the expiration of the prayer time is very slight, such that she would not have time to perform a full bath, along with performing the takbiratu tahrima, the exclusionary takbir, then she is not considered to have missed an obligatory prayer, and it would be permissible for her to engage in marital relations. إذا تمت مدتها لعشرة حل وطؤها بمجرد التمام لتيقن بأن الزائد استحاضة وأقل الطهر 15 يوما ولا حد لأكثره إلا عند نصب العادة في زمان الاستمرار. If, however, a period goes, or a menstruation period goes past 10 days, it is permissible for her to have marital relations with her spouse. It's permissible for her to have marital relations as soon as it passes the 10th day. Why? لتيقن بأن الزائد استحاضة, because of the certainty that the menstruation period has finished, and that any extra days after 10 is considered to be irregular bleeding. Considered to be irregular bleeding. And then the Sheikh Rahimahullah, he says, وَأَقَلُّ الطُّهُرُ 15 يَوْمًا. The minimum amount of duration of being in a pure, pure The minimal duration of tuhur is 15 complete days. So 360 hours. Yet there is no maximum duration. وَلَا حَدَّ لِأَكْثَرِهِ Except when إِلَّا عِنْدَ النَّصَبِ الْعَادَةِ فِي زَمَانِ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ Unless we are establishing a kind of a mean or a standard menstrual pattern or habit in the situation of زَمَانِ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ In a situation of continuous bleeding. Postnatal bleeding, والنفاس, ذم يعقب الولد أو أكثره. أكثره. النفاس or post-birth bleeding is defined as blood that exits a woman after her delivery of a baby or after most of the baby has exited. ولو كان سقطا استبان بعض خلقه Even if after miscarriage of a fetus whose body had some kind of physical appearance or development استبان بعض خلقه أقل النفاس لا حد له There's no minimum duration of post-birth bleeding, وَأَكْثَرُهُ 40 يَوْمًا But the maximum is 40 days. وَهُوَ And this is from وَهُوَ مِنْ أَوَّلُ التَّوْأَمَيْنِ تَوْأَمَيْنِ This is from the first of the twins. So if she has twins, then the postnatal bleeding is considered when the first of the twins come out. وَحُكْمُهُ كَالْحَيْضِ And its ruling of postnatal bleeding is like menstruation. فَمَا تَرَاهُ الْحَامِلُ وَلَوْ حَالَ الطُّلْقِ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ أَكْثَرُ وَلَدِ وَمَا تَرَاهُ زَائِدًا عَلَى الْأَرْبَعِينَ أَوْ مُتَجَاوِزًا عَادَتَهَا وزاد على أكثر الحيض والنفاس وما تراه من لم تراه فهو استحاضة. So then the Sheikh said that the استحاضة or irregular bleeding the signs of or the cases of irregular bleeding, is any bleeding of a pregnant woman during delivery before most of the baby has come out. Before most of the baby has come out. فَمَا تَرَاهُ الْحَامِلُ وَلَوْ حَالَ طُلُقِ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ أَكْثَرِ الْوَلَدِ أَكْثَرِ الْوَلَدِ So any bleeding of a pregnant woman, even during the delivery, before most of the baby has come out of the mother. That's considered to be excessive bleeding, irregular bleeding. And then it says, وَمَا تَرَاهُ زَائِدًا عَلَى الْأَرْبَعِينَ Bleeding for more than 40 days. This is considered to be excessive or irregular bleeding. And then another instance is, أَوْ مُتَجَاوِزًا عَادَتَهَا So if a woman bleeds past a normal habit of bleeding, then this is considered to be dysfunctional or irregular bleeding. وَزَادَ عَلَى أَكْثَرِ الْحَيْضِ وَالنِّفَاسِ Any bleeding that exceeds the normal habit of her menstruation, وَمَا تَرَاهُ مَنْ لَمْ تُرَاهِقْ فَهُوَ إِسْتِحَاضَ Any bleeding of a girl that has not yet reached adolescence, which is roughly like 8-9 lunar years, that if any bleeding of a girl has not reached, or comes before her reaching her puberty, then that's considered to be irregular bleeding. ودم الاستحاضة كالرعاف دائم لا يمنع صوما ولا صلاة ووطئا وطوافا. Irregular bleeding is considered to be like a nosebleed. Like the hukum, the ruling is considered to be like a nosebleed. It does not prevent anyone from fasting or praying or being involved in marital relations or doing a tawaf, circular walk around the Kaaba, musharrafa. It doesn't prevent anyone from doing these acts. ودم الاستحاضة وتتوضأ لوقت كل صلاة إذا استوعب نزوله وقتا كاملا. وقتا كاملا. كسلسل بول واستلاق بطن وانفلات ريح وسيلان دم. If bleeding continues for the duration of an entire prayer time, then the woman must perform wudu at the beginning of each prayer time, just like someone with chronic urinary incontinence, constant diarrhea, constant flatulence or release of gas, or continuous bleeding from any part of the body. So her irregular bleeding takes the ruling of these realities. So if her bleeding is continuous, وَتَتَوَضَّأْ لِوَقْتِ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ إِذَا إِسْتَوَعَبَ نُزُولُهُ وَقْتًا كَامِلًا. When her bleeding becomes continuous for a duration of an entire prayer, إِسْتَوَعَبَ نُزُولُهُ, the bleeding is released for an entire prayer time, then it is like someone with chronic urinary incontinence, like continuous urine, سلسلة بولين, واستطلاق, diarrhea, انفلات ريح, flatulence, وسيلان دم, or flowing blood, continuous bleeding from the body. فإن أصحاب العذر لهم ثلاثة شروط. There are three conditions for people with chronic excuses. The first condition, شرطٌ لثبوت العذر, the condition of establishing the excuse itself. وشرطٌ لدوامه, the condition of its continual state, its continuity. وشرطٌ لانقطاعه, the condition of its cessation or its termination. أما شرط ثبوته, as for the condition of establishing the excuse for someone who has chronic, who's in a chronic condition of, you know, bleeding or excessive bleeding of some kind, or excessive flatulence, or excessive, you know, diarrhea, something like that. The first condition is فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَهُ بِأَنَّهُ لا بد من استيعاب العذر وقتا كاملا بحيث لا يتمكن فيه من الطهارة والصلاة بدونه وبعده يصير صاحب العذر فيصلي مع ملابس ذلك العذر بعد وضوء معه ما شاء من الفرائض والنوافل ويبطل لخروجه فقط. The first condition is establishing the excuse itself, the exemption. As it was mentioned above, for the excuse to continue, for the exemption to continue to be valid, the entire duration of one prayer time, the excuse has to be continuous through one whole prayer time, such that a person is unable to perform wudu and the prayer without the occurrence of that excuse. So if one is continuously bleeding and one does wudu and then can't pray because the blood is coming out, or the wind keeps coming out, or the toilet keeps coming out. If that is the case, it's continuous like that, then a person will be considered chronically excused. Therefore, he can pray any amount of prayer obligatory or voluntary, after having performed wudu, despite the occurrence of that reality, that excuse. So if between Dhuhr and Asr, that prayer time, that complete prayer time, let's say it's 3 hours, if in between Dhuhr and Asr, a person cannot perform wudu and pray without that flow of blood coming out or release of gas or some other, incontinence, if that keeps occurring in that between Dhuhr and Asr, then one just performs wudu and continues to pray and do any acts of worship within that time, one will be excused. One will be excused. When the time expires, then one has to now do a fresh assessment. So between Dhuhr and Asr, if one finds that they're chronically excused, then Asr and Maghrib, one has to determine whether one is still chronically excused from the time of Asr, between Asr and Maghrib. وَأَمَّا شَرْطُ دَوَامِهِ, regarding the condition of continuity, فَبِوُجُودِهِ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ, then its occurrence in every time, the condition of continuity is established when the occurrence happens at every time, even if it occurs once in each prayer time. So if you had it, if someone was suffering from this chronic sort of expulsion from the body of gas or blood or whatever it might be, between Fajr and Dhuhr, and then it continued at Asr, Maghrib, between Dhuhr and Asr, between Asr and Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, then one is established the continuity of that excuse, that exemption. وَأَمَّا الشَّرْطُ إِنْقِطَاعِهِ فَبِخُلُوِّ وَقْتٍ كَامِلٍ عَنْهُ. The condition of the termination, whereby one is no longer considered to be chronically excused, is for one whole prayer time, waqtin kamilin, to expire, to elapse, without a single occurrence of that expulsion or secretion from the body, whether that's continuous bleeding, continuous gas, whatever it might be. If for one whole prayer time, one doesn't suffer that occurrence, then one will be considered to be free from chronic excuse, i.e. the waqtul inqita' has come about, the time of the termination of one being chronically excused comes to an end, it ceases. So this all depends on a person's reality and their own personal assessment. These are just the broad rulings here. For the ruling framework for one who's chronically excused, because they are continuously bleeding, they are continuously releasing feces, continuously releasing urine, or continuously releasing blood, or whatever it might be. So this is a reality issue. One has to assess one's own reality. And if one then, one's reality matches these conditions, then one will be, one will take the relevant ruling accordingly. So we will end it there. We've read up to Bifadlillahi Azza wa Jal. We read the section on wiping over the foot gear and bandages and dressings and casts. We read through some basic rulings on menstruation, post-birth bleeding, and irregular bleeding. And then we looked at some rulings regarding the chronically excused. Inshallah, next week we will be looking at types of filth and how to purify, and the shara'i way of purifying oneself from filth. Sabab al-anjas wa taharati anha. So bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will see you in the next lesson, unless there's any questions anyone wanted to ask. Okay, if there's not any questions, then we will see you in the next lesson. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.